time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, joining us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook on our Be Unique Radio page for your chance to win a pork chop participation prize every week.
Warning! Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes. Hi, Gene.
Oh, hey, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I like using my new app here to find warning sounds. I think they're kind of cool.
Absolutely. Definitely. There's definitely warning.
Yeah, you have to be prepared, people. You never know. We may make you laugh. We might increase your knowledge. Or you may just have a nice break with us. But either way, you got to be warned. Yeah. You have been warned. I have
today,
a word of the day.
Yes.
I have a word of the day.
That's awesome.
Today is February 2nd. So let me start with the word of the day. Then I got some more stuff to share. The word of the day today is alternative.
Okay.
It's basically one or more things that are available as another possibility. They're different things. They're second option, possible substitutes. That's what our word of the day is, alternative.
Alternative. So, I mean, if you got something you're used to, that's not an alternative really as much as something different is, unless you were doing something different, then
exactly.
What you're used to would be the alternative.
The Take a Break with Gene and Mary show is an alternative to our more cerebral podcast that we do on Thursday nights or Monday mornings. So this is a little more lighthearted. As I said, today is February 2nd. It is Heavenly Hash Day, Tater Tot Day, the Record of a Sneeze Day. It's Wet Wednesday, Hedgehog Day, Crepe Day, the day we make ourselves more aware of rheumatoid arthritis, although I don't want to be aware of that. It doesn't feel good. It's African American Coaches Day, and it's also Groundhog Day. But for my purposes, I am calling this Got Gas Day because we're talking about alternative fuels today.
Okay. Like the word of the day.
Kind of like the word of the day.
Okay.
So we have our lovely assistant, Barb, who did some research for us. And this is what she found out. The issue of climate change from the use of fossil fuels dates back to 1896, when a Swedish scientist named Svante Arrhenius discussed findings that climate could be affected. And she gave us some alternatives to these energy sources. What would you think some of the possible energy alternatives would be to fossil fuels, gasoline, oil type stuff?
You mean in the present day or back in 1896?
Right now, what do you think we might be using?
Well, I know that a lot of folks are starting to run their cars on different types of fuels, like some more alcohol-based fuels, even electricity.
Well, Tesla are all electrical. Mm-hmm. And then you've got these hybrid cars that run partly on gas and partly on battery.
Right. Well, you know, and hydrogen is combustible. And I remember when I was a kid, my cousin was telling me out of a science magazine, he read that you could run a car filling up the tank with water, you know, and if you could separate the hydrogen and oxygen, sure you could.
They are working with hydrogen rockets.
Yeah, yeah.
Hydrogen gas emits only air and water vapor, so it's clean.
Yeah. Only problem, it's kind of volatile. So it's,
yeah,
it's
if you remember the Hindenburg.
Yeah, yeah.
They used hydrogen to pilot that Zeppelin, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Air, what was it called? Like a blimp. And they had hundreds of people died. But it is also derived from fossil fuels. So the emissions created to extract it could counteract its benefits.
True.
Have you ever been knocked down by a wave, Gene, out in the ocean?
Yeah, I have. That's definitely some energy.
That's a form of kinetic energy. And there are people that are experimenting with using the tides to power turbines, and there's no waste of fossil fuels that way.
Sure. I remember I ran across an old 1700s mining camp here in Florida that they did that. They had a sawmill.
Wow.
And they'd fill up this reservoir that they made when the tide came in, and then they'd block it off. And with the high tide and the tide went out, they'd let it out and run the sawmill.
No way.
Yeah, pretty cool.
You mentioned the way people bioenergy for biofuels.
Yeah.
They use animal and plant life to make energy, but they need the machinery to complete the process. And that machinery gives off emissions.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. The thing about it is there are a lot of alternatives that are clean, but they're so expensive to do that a lot of people, you know, aren't able to do them, or investors don't really want to invest in them as much.
Well, even the electricity is powered through the use of fossil fuels.
Yeah. Well, except for now, I'll tell you, I will say that over my born days, I've noticed that in recent ones, some of the power companies are investing in big solar panel farms. I know that, and getting rid of a lot of their burning facilities. So that's definitely a good sign, I think.
Well, you know, solar panels are used in space. The International Space Station is powered, has a lot, it gets a lot of power through its solar panels.
Yeah.
And even the ships, as the rockets, as they're going up, especially the ones that are going a long distance beyond our solar system, they use solar panels to create the energy.
Well, you know, and that made me just think about something I'd read about this recently, was that they could put solar panels up out where the space station is outside the atmosphere and generate, because the atmosphere, the Earth's atmosphere, takes so much of the solar power away that they could generate all our power with a panel up outside the atmosphere.
Wow.
But then getting it back to Earth, the solution that they've come up with is fire like a laser beam, a light beam, down.
Nice.
The only problem with that is if they miss, then you got all the size of, you know, the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
So there are pros and cons for a lot of different ways.
Well, there's hydroelectric energy, which is water. And we've used that for many, many years. The dams, like Hoover Dam, the only one I can think of right now.
Yeah.
It is clean and it helps control flooding. It's a renewable resource, but they're very expensive. Nuclear energy is the most abundant resource. However, you got situations like Chernobyl and what was that one in Japan? Fukushima?
I believe something like that.
Those were catastrophic.
Well, and then, so as we look at these different alternatives, they all have pros and cons. And I'd say as pro as that is, that's kind of a big con.
Yes, yes.
You know, in a lot of regards.
And that was something that Barb even found in her research. The benefits alleviate the problems of fossil fuels, but the amount of money needed to make these changes makes them less viable. In fact, one of the things that she talked about was geothermal power. It extracts energy from the ground all around us, but there's an enormous cost in creating the power plants that produce it. Your grandmother probably wasn't as old as mine, probably your great-grandmother. My grandmother for many years cooked on a wood-burning stove.
My grandma did.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. It's great and it's bad, you know, good and bad. Number one, there's a lot of work involved in managing the feeding of the wood to the system by the homeowner to heat your house, to cook your food. And then every tree you cut down needs to be replanted. And it takes 20 to 30 years, depending on the tree. This was something I learned when I had a wood burning fireplace. If you use the wrong kind of wood, you can create creosote in your chimney, which can then catch on fire and burn your house down. So you have to use what they call clean burning wood or hardwood like oak. And those kinds of things are more expensive and harder. And an oak tree takes 100 years to grow, where a pine tree might take 15 or 20. But the pine tree is going to create this tarry substance called creosote. One of those catch-22s.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can walk to the store from my house. The closest store is a little corner gas station, convenience store. I could probably take about 30 to 45 minutes to walk there and back home. Then I have to deal with how do I carry everything when I get it there and back. I could drive there in 5, maybe 10 minutes, pick everything up, put it in the trunk of my car, and come back home. Easy peasy. My grandparents would have taken a horse and a flatbed cart, but then you've got the horse, you've got to feed it, you got to clean. Well, back then, people didn't always clean up after their horses. Nowadays, we at least clean up after our dogs. I guess this is an option for a lot of people to think about. I'm just thinking about today's Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's also Heavenly Hash Day.
Well, you know, I was thinking about you walking. I wanted to say that you were talking about walking down the street. And one of the alternative ways of getting electricity I ran into was this stuff called piezoelectricity.
Piezo?
And it's like you see the little kids when they walk, the lights flash on their shoes?
Yeah.
Well, there are people, there's folks experimenting with the technology of generating electricity when you text to make your cell phone power.
Oh, wow.
And I guess there's, because they run dance floors and stuff now with it. You dance on the floor and the lights are generating.
There is something at Kennedy Space Center. They have three of them. One is for, it connects to the moon, one connects to the earth, and one connects to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
The premise is every time you step on one of these little pads, it's on the walkway, you generate a little energy that launches a rocket. But the rocket is really an animation. You know, you're not really launching rockets, but it's so much fun to get started. A couple of people doing this, you'll do it in, do it as you cross over and the energy stays there. But if you got a couple of families with kids, they'll run around there until they can launch these rockets, these animated movies. It's so much fun.
Yeah, very cool.
I saw a video on YouTube years ago where there were bicycles. Back in the day when spinning was a big deal, there were a bunch of bicycles that had like rope lights running from them. And as you rode the bike, you charged up these rope lights. When you get enough people doing it together, it created a light show on the side of a building.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much fun to watch because these the light show was basically a male stripper or a male exotic dancer, I guess. And these women were just, I mean, it was not, it was just a, an outline. It wasn't a real person. But these women were so excited to be riding the bike and making this guy take off his clothes. People are crazy.
People are crazy. Not like you and me, huh?
Oh, I'm
well, or any of our listeners and listeners, hey, we're happy. We're happy you chose to take a break with us today. We got to get going. We look forward to hearing from you online. Please visit beunique.org for details about all our shows and interact with us.
That's beunique.org.
See you guys.
Everybody.
Bye.